Sexual assaults on college campuses are sadly all too common. The latest federal campus safety data shows nearly 100 institutions had at least 10 reports of rape on their main campuses in the year 2014. What's less known, though, are these cases at the high school level. The American Association of University Women surveyed nearly 2,000 students in 7th through 12th grade. Nearly half had experienced some form of sexual harassment during a single school year. Title IX coordinators are supposed to be on hand to review allegations at both colleges and high schools. But a recent investigation by Slate magazine reveals that's not happening the way it should at many schools. Freelance journalist Nora Kaplan-Bricker worked on that story, and she joins me now by Skype. Good morning, Nora.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. And also with us is Fatima Goss Graves. She's the Senior Vice President for Program at National Women's Law Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Fatima, explain to me why Title IX comes into play when we're talking about sexual assault. Most people know Title IX because it required that athletic programs for both genders receive the same amount of funding and attention. Why does it also refer to sexual assault allegations?
You know, Title IX bans sex discrimination in nearly every education program. And what that means in the context of sexual harassment is that everyone must be able to participate in school fully. And if you are harassed or experience violence because of your sex, it's nearly impossible to do so.
And Nora, what does the law require that high schools particularly do?
Well, the law requires that high schools have a designated Title IX coordinator, which is a person who has been trained to deal with victims, to sort of mediate with them through the investigation process, to inform them of their rights. The school, or the government rather, also requires in general that the school have trained the officials who will be working with students how to do a fair investigation, how to avoid re-traumatizing students, and generally treat them fairly and empathetically throughout this process.
And the school that you focused on, at least for your piece in Slate, was Peachtree Ridge High School. And that's because there is still an ongoing investigation in this involving the federal government. Explain to me which part of the story is not in dispute at this point. What happened, which is confirmed by both sides?
So all sides confirmed that there was some sort of incident involving two then sophomore students in February of 2015, in which the female student performed oral sex on the male student. She says that this was not consensual, that she was coerced into doing this, that it was an extremely traumatic experience. He says that it was consensual, though some of his statements have sort of seemed to contradict that in school hearings. The school confirms that this happened and that there was an investigation about it and that the students were placed in a joint disciplinary hearing in which the school sort of tried to adjudicate the case and then suspended both students for 10 days for what it said was consensual sexual activity. So all of those facts, that this incident occurred and that the school then did this sort of joint disciplinary process and suspended both students together, those facts are not in dispute. What is in dispute is whether this was a sexual assault, which the female student says that it was, and also whether the school's handling of the case was above the board or whether it was in fact really a violation of what should have happened.
And that's why it's become a legal complaint submitted to the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. And Fatima, there's no question that every school is supposed to have a Title IX coordinator, correct?
Each school must have a Title IX coordinator. But what we know is that even schools who say they have Title IX coordinators, many times the Title IX coordinator doesn't even know that they have that role. And no one in the school community knows
that
they have that role.
What is that role? What is that person supposed to do?
Well, that person is really supposed to be the point person for ensuring Title IX compliance. They should ensure that harassment and assault allegations are investigated appropriately. They should ensure that the school is taking appropriate action and that protective measures are in place. And that is going to require some training. And they should be the point person ensuring that they have training and really that other important people in the school have training as well.
My guests are Fatima Goss-Graves of the National Women's Law Center and also freelance journalist Nora Kaplan Bricker. Her article on this issue appears in Slate magazine. And it's clear, Nora, why one might need a Title IX coordinator, because you report that during the disciplinary hearing, an assistant principal said, quote, "I don't know that I'm trained to qualify what is sexual assault." Why did the school suspend both students? Why did it come down to a suspension?
So the school, like many high schools, had or has a rule on the books that says consensual sexual activity, you know, any sexual activity on campus is a violation of the school rules. And the school found in the course of its investigation, you know, because the school deemed the male student, quote unquote, more credible than the female student, and you know, we can go into why that was and why that's troubling to begin with, but because that was their finding, they decided that this was consensual and therefore it was in violation of the rules and therefore both students must be punished. That in and of itself is a violation of what the federal government and the Department of Education have been telling schools for years now, which is that if a student comes forward and says, "My civil rights have been violated," which is, you know, what a student is saying in essence when they say
sexual assault is a violation of civil rights, absolutely. Okay.
Of course, then in that case, the school can't take retributive action against that student, you know, even if there is no finding that a right has been violated, even if the school can't sort of determine one way or another what happened here, they still can't take action against the student who complained without sort of compounding the problem or compounding the violation that's occurred. And so right there, the school already, you know, did something that the Department of Education has said it shouldn't happen.
So Fatima, one of the things that Nora points out in her reporting is that there has been a big focus on sexual assault on college-level campuses. The office, the Department of Education opened 324 cases during Obama's tenure so far. 52 of those have been resolved. And yet, that is not the kind of numbers that you see in K through 12 schools. Why the big difference?
You know, this particular case is really extreme, but it is not an anomaly. What we know is that, according to the Department of Justice, about 18% of high school girls say that they've experienced some sort of unwanted sexual contact. But it hasn't received the same level of attention that we've seen in college or in the military. And so really, high schools and middle schools are behind the ball. They are still making really big mistakes. They're not doing the training that they should be doing. And sometimes they either ignore or have incompetent responses. And so the work at the high school level is even greater in terms of what needs to be done.
And one thing that you quote, Nora, is somebody from the Victims Rights Law Center saying that the most common response from a school is that they can't do anything about it. Why is that problematic?
That's problematic because, and I'm glad you highlighted that, because even in cases where the school can't sort of figure out definitively what happened, as Fatima said earlier, they have this responsibility under Title IX to make sure that all these students can access their education fully regardless of sex. And so when they're saying we can't do anything, they're saying we can't really defend that right for a student who says that she or he has been sexually assaulted. So even in a case where the school says, we can't figure out what happened here, they should still say, what relief can we offer? How can we keep these students apart? How can we provide mental health support? How can we make sure that both of these students are still able to get the full education to which they're entitled?
And Fatima, one common complaint from schools is that they don't have the funding for a Title IX coordinator. Is that a credible argument?
Well, Title IX is going to be 45 years old next year. And so the idea that just now schools should be thinking about whether to have a Title IX coordinator is a little absurd. There are a lot of resources that are out there, including recent resources from the Department of Education that would be really, really useful for schools who are serious about addressing this problem. And one of the things that Nora raised that I think is really important is that schools have the ability to make it so that students want to stay in school. They have the ability to make it so that students feel comfortable. They have the ability to address further harassment that often comes after someone is assaulted. Those are things that only the school can really do.
So we only have about a minute left, Nora. What is the solution here? Are most of these cases going to have to be tried individually through the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights?
I certainly hope not. I think, this is a really complex problem, but I think the solution starts with every school having a well-trained Title IX coordinator, someone who can look at everything that's going on in an investigation or a case at the school and say, well, I've read everything that the Department of Education has put out, and here's what we need to do, and here's what we certainly can't do. And somebody who says to the student and the student's family, here's what's available to you, please work with the school. We understand what we're doing in this case. Even just having that one person in every school, I think, would make an enormous difference. And that really did appear to be lacking in this case in Gwinnett County.
That is freelance journalist Nora Kaplan-Bricker. Fatima Goss-Graves of the National Women's Law Center joined us as well. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.